Exodus chapter 12, verses 37 through 51. Let us listen in a way that we offer our minds and our hearts and ourselves to the Lord as in worship in the hearing of his word. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt, and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to Yahweh for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, and you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you." Thus all the children of Israel did. As Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, according to their armies. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, the Lord emphasizes by saying that very same day, and the 430 years, which is more precise than the rounded number he had given Abram in Genesis 15:31. I believe it was Genesis 15:31, Genesis 15:13. He had given him the rounded number of 400. But by repeating the 430 years and the very same day, and the very same day, he's drawing attention to the fact that the Lord has kept his promises to Abram. And he's kept several different parts of the promises that he had repeated to Abram and then Abraham several times throughout his life. He has kept the multiplication promise. The stars as the sky and sand as the seashore promise of his descendants. There are 600,000 men of foot here that are leaving Exodus 12, 37 to 51. Men of foot does not just say, oh, well, they were walking instead of riding camels. That's a military term. The hosts of Yahweh, which is actually translated in our translation, verse 41, armies of Yahweh, and by their hosts, which again our translation in verse 51 translates according to their armies. Those are all military terms. So this 600,000 means 600,000 military eligible men, which means that at minimum, this was a people of 2 million and probably as high as 5 or 6 million, considering that this was a population boom that had been taking place for a generation now, which had instigated the oppression that began around the time of Moses' birth, and now he's 80. So an 80-year population boom, 600,000 men on foot, probably 5 or 6 million people. But even if it was quote-unquote just 2 million people, think about it. The people of promise went from Abraham and Sarah to Isaac and Rebekah. And Ishmael may have been a believer, but he wasn't among the covenant people. He separated from Isaac. And then it went to Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And Esau was not a believer at all. Scripture tells us that Esau have I hated. And even from Rachel and Leah, they had 12 boys. And the people had grown to the great number of 70. Well, 74, if you include Joseph and his wife and his two sons back already in Egypt. But 70 came down from Canaan to Egypt. So 74 seemed like such a big number just a couple of generations ago. And now Moses, who is, through his mother's side, Levi's grandson, at the age of 80, is leading out some 5 or 6 million people. Or perhaps just 2 million. Just 2 million. So the Lord has kept the multiplication promise. You see, the number of the Israelites are coming out. That's definitely with the 600,000 and the hosts and the hosts, or armies and armies. There's an emphasis on the number. There's also an emphasis on the variety of these people. Notice verse 38. Short verse, big meaning. A mixed multitude went up with them also. A multitude of people from all the nations was added to the Israelites. They're like, get us out of Egypt. We've seen what Egypt is, and we have seen who Yahweh is, and we choose Yahweh. We're going with him. To the extent that when he repeats some of the Passover instructions here, the point of the repetition of the Passover instructions from verse 43 and following is how to incorporate members of the mixed multitude. If they were willing to become Israelites, either by becoming circumcised servants in an Israelite household, or being circumcised to join a tribe as a native of the land, then they could take the Passover. And so there is provision here, spiritual provision, for those who were converted to following and worshiping Yahweh, who had humiliated Egypt, but had saved his covenant people. And they would want to commemorate the day or the great event in which they came to know the Lord. And he said, you can't do that unless you become an Israelite by means of circumcision. So the churches today actually are full of people who think that, there is this great distinction between Old Testament, in which God's people was an ethnic people, Israel, and New Testament, in which God's people are a converted people. And yet, as the Apostle tells us in Romans 9, Israel, even in the Old Testament, was not by God measured by all those who had descended from Israel, but all those who had faith, the spiritual descendants, those who were the descendants of promise. So yes, there is a distinction in that in the Old Testament, if you were from one of the other nations, you had not only to convert to the worship of Yahweh, but to be incorporated into the nation of Israel. But it was never merely an ethnic nation. It was always a covenantal nation. And if they were practicing what God had told them to do rightly, they would have been excommunicating, which means cutting off from their people, which is much more severe than New Testament excommunication. But if they were obeying God's commands, they would have been continuously putting out of the people any descendants who did not grow up to trust in the Lord and walk with him. So there's actually, according to God's instruction, the only difference is you don't have to become an ethnic Israelite now to be part of God's people. But the church in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament are actually very similar. And the reason is, as the apostle tells us in Romans 4, God was determined to make Abraham the father of all of the circumcised through faith, and the father, through faith, of all of the uncircumcised who believe as well. And this was another part of his promises to Abraham, wasn't it? All the way back to chapter 12 in Genesis, that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And so we see the number promise, and we see the whole world promise fulfilled here. And then we also see the presence promise. The essence of the covenant being, I will be your God, and you will be my people. They are the people of Yahweh. Verse 41 calls them Yahweh's armies. This is one of the wonderful things about God bringing sinners into covenant with himself. You look at that covenant and who is in it, God and his people, and you say, wow, everything good in that covenant has come from God. Think about, even from a military perspective, what you would think of the 600,000 who are coming out on foot and be like, Yahweh's armies. Well, Pharaoh's armies looked a lot more impressive. Well, maybe not by this point, but probably still with their shields and spears and long bows, at which they were expert and which was the great weapon of the time, and their chariots and horses and armor and very impressive. Israelites running out with flat bread, didn't even have time to let it rise before they baked it. Many with their kneading bowls still strapped to them didn't even have time to bake that. And a bedraggled people who the only thing they had known up till now was how to be slaves. That was their training. The Israelites, or the Egyptians, definitely were not training them for military prowess, because for 80 years, one of the great concerns was that the Israelites might join an enemy if there was a war. These are Yahweh's armies? Well, yeah, they are, because Yahweh and his armies, when they go out to war, the one who matters is the Yahweh part. Now, that doesn't mean that they would refuse to be ready or to train or whatever. You see how the identity here is their identity with the Lord, identified with him by circumcision, so that they may be identified with him by keeping the night of Yahweh, which is what Passover is called at one point here, so that they may be identified with him as being his people who do everything according to his commands. That's the biggest part of the promise. Yes, the numbers part is wonderful. Yes, the people from all the nations part, the worldwide blessing part, bringing them into the covenant to the Lord through Abraham part is wonderful. But the best part of God keeping his promises was him being their covenant God and them getting to be his covenant people, to be identified with him. That's the best part of his promises to you. Promises have not changed. Jesus is still gathering to himself a multitude that no one can count. Jesus is still glorifying himself by the fact that it is to all the nations and to the ends of the earth that repentance and remission of sins are being proclaimed in his name. But the greatest part of what the Lord is doing is identifying us with himself, uniting us to himself by faith, so that we know ourselves to be united to Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, so that we know ourselves to be the beloved children, adopted of the Father, who called Jesus the beloved Son, so that we know ourselves to have fellowship with the Spirit, because the Scriptures teach us that it is the Holy Spirit who trains our hearts and mouths to say Abba when we talk to God, something that no one until the indwelling of the Spirit by the pouring out of Christ had the temerity to say to the living God, and now we in Christ can be confident of it. We are his. That means all of the good, all of the power comes from him, just as it did here. That means we are identified with him. Our worship is his worship. The Lord's Day is his day. We are the people who obey his commands, who've been bought with his blood. The best part of covenant with him is him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you, who had kept these promises and made such display of that in the portion that we read this morning, are still keeping these promises, and that are coming to faith and are seeing our children come to you and are seeing others converted and brought in to your people and receive baptism. Our belonging to you is still in Christ, the perfection which what we saw in our passage anticipated. Help us especially, Lord, to delight that you have taken us to be your covenant people and that you have declared yourself as our covenant God. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.